Yes, I'm turning this morning to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and I read verse 16. So Ruth, chapter 1, and verse 16. And 16, yes, to start with. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." And many people are very familiar with these words of Ruth, and when she was asked by Naomi to go back to her own hometown. My subject this morning is about spiritual determination. Spiritual determination. Everybody knows that determination is helpful in life, but how little people realize that it takes even more greater determination in spiritual things to come to the Lord and to find Him. Some people think they can merely walk about, show a kind of a half-hearted interest in spiritual things, things about God, and then somehow become Christians. Well, that's not true. Ebi ma dwia won se abrebom nkoa na ye hia se ye rita so se ye pese ye nsaka biribi. Awon enim se Awurade Yesu Kristo so church se ame yetumi aba Nyankopɔn hɔ no ɛsɛ sɛ yetumi ayɛ yɛwe ataaso. It takes spiritual determination to come to the Lord. Let me right at the start, we don't often do this at the gospel service because we want it to be straightforward. But let me read you two passages of scripture and you will realize that spiritual determination is required if we will find the Lord and become true Christians, the Lord's people. I go to the gospel of Matthew chapter 11. If you come open to that, never mind, I'll read that to you. But gospel of Matthew chapter 11, and I'm reading you verse 12. So look, I beg your pardon, Matthew 11 and verse 12. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Those who would enter the kingdom of God must be, as it were, violent, serious, earnest, determined, really focused, because they want to truly know the Lord." And I'm reading another passage from the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ again. Gospel of Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. So, 13 chapter 24, Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Strive, be determined, make it your greatest, highest, most primary aim to want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because some people, they would think not lightly about that. They would like it. If you tell them about heaven and how to know the Lord and how to come to Him, they say, "Well, that's a nice thing. I think I want to become a Christian." They think it's a kind of a light thing, something that you can almost take it with your left hand, as we say in our local language, and then it'll all be all right, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive, because some people would try, because they wouldn't come the right way, and so they would not find it, my dear friends. In order to become a child of God requires determination. But what kind of determination is that? I mean, yetimi abe nyankopo embano, to become a Christian, I mean. Yabe nyankopo embano, eseyeya, yariataso, yedi enyibrebi, epeseyen seka. But de enyibrea, de adrian ayedin se opesen en seka. What kind of determination? That brings us to the narrative of Ruth. And you know that Ruth was a Gentile, some a Moabite in her country. She was worshipping Chemosh. That was their god. That was what she was doing from infancy. And we don't even know whether she's been initiated into some kind of secret rituals and things like this. But that would have been her religion, worshipping idols in her land. And then a Jew, Naomi, came to her country, from her own country in Bethlehem, Judah, in Jerusalem. And she came to her country and she got into contact with Naomi. And Naomi had two sons and she married one of them. Unfortunately, the son died. And so Ruth was left alone. She wasn't the only one. There was another young lady called Orpah who had also married another son of Naomi. And both of them lost their husbands. And it seemed that Naomi had been such a wonderful mother-in-law to them. So when Naomi decided to go back to her own country, they wanted to go with her. And it's quite striking that they wanted to go with her in spite of the fact that they were old enough. And as Naomi told them, well, if you go with me, you have problems with marriage. Would you wait until I have children again and you marry them? Which would be many years. And if you should wait at all, by the time these sons are of marriage age, you would have been past your marriage age, possibly. And so it doesn't make sense to go with me. But initially, all the two wanted to go. But eventually, when the other, Orpah, saw the point, saw what was to be lost, she decided to change her mind. She saw she would not be able to marry. You know, in those days, women depended on marriage. Their husbands was everything to them. Their husbands and their sons especially were everything to them. If you didn't marry, likelihood is that you would become a very, very poor, miserable woman in those days. And so they depended very much on that. So Orpah saw the point and she decided, well, I'm not going to with Naomi anymore. I'm going back to my own country. But Ruth wouldn't. Inti Kobala said, Naomi, no person sent Kono on Chrome. Inti Emani said, I decided a new beko, with Chrome. You didn't say, Naomi, on one to now, ye, until no more penas, and don't person in Kono Chrome. But Naomi, no person, ye, on you and do one quarry moon. She didn't want to hide things from them. To catch on plane to share, minimum qua, a bad deal, mamma, some of their worry. It sounds as a me imagine some per se, memamu kun moa. A some chance, see, and fence at this time, let's say, Ruth Neopa no more 80-25 umpo. Na some more chain could do Senomi by Ubu. Nem could our name, you need a could do by say 25 and some more warrior. It is a letter, me 50 years. 50 years, me assure some could have number war more. Into Miss Samuel, moon come fee. Na irade na oni mi edinu boni sa nti opa jo ti ase ohun ni se ebe di amano sam renun so e na oba de we need us so nyina ni wukunu e san se oni no be kwa aba na so oba abema na oni ni we need us so nti o ti ase je oba opa de o sane e but look at the bigger Ruth de one person sign I didn't know one person sign. Ruth knew problems in you now. Why will Ruth not go back? In spite of the fact that these problems were very real. Possibility of no marriage, misery in a foreign land, you wouldn't have family around you, all you would have is Ruth. I beg your pardon, Naomi only. And so why would Ruth not go back? I didn't know Ruth non person called a tree. Now Okanasam in your perception five items of determination, and they all show the kind of determination that enters our hearts. If we really want to become Christians, if I really want to become a genuine child of God, I'm not talking about merely going to church and seeking to be baptized and getting through all the superficial things in church, not that kind of thing. We're talking about wanting to really become a child of God and to know what it is to have your sins forgiven and a new heart given unto you. This determination are so vital. They are so important. Say the abeya met me abira di wana mabeya nkopon eba ankasa nankoye se sa nimpanu ibi amene nama sorimuara. Now, listen now to the words that Ruth used. Verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. The first one seems negative, isn't it? Entreat me not from following after thee. Entreat me not to leave thee. Don't ask me to leave you, because I'm not going away. The first one is a kind of a negative determination, is to tell yourself, I will not let anything or anyone put me off from really following the Lord, from really coming to know the Lord. I will not let anything distract me, anything to draw me aside. Friends, that's the very first one, you know. That's very important, my dear friends, if you would come to know the Lord. So, because at the very moment you want to take the Lord seriously, you'll be aware that there are so many things that will distract you. Are you not aware? Well, you may have heard the gospel before. It may have come through your mind before, the possibility of becoming a Christian. And then suddenly, all manner of things are coming up now in your mind. All manner of things are trying to divide your mind. The first resolution, the first thing you say in your heart is this: no, I really want to be a Christian. I really want to be a child of God. And I'm not going to let these things put me away, distract me, draw me aside, because I really long to have my sins forgiven and a new heart given me. That's the very first thing that must come to our heart. And my dear friends, sometimes we have seen people that seem to be interested in becoming children of God, and they seem not to notice the distractions all around them. So sometimes they themselves throw themselves right into the distractions. And we have always seen that within a short time, every interest is gone. Every interest to really come to the Lord is gone from them. They're no longer interested. They're no longer interested in becoming Christians. And so our resolution is helpful. Because if you really want to come to the Lord, you begin to see the kind of things you want to turn away from. Years ago, I heard from a former president of a country who was talking about his days in the university. And he said that during his early years in school, he was a brilliant young man. And then he had high aims. He wanted to become a lawyer and all these kind of big things in his eyes he wanted to become. And then he realized, he didn't seem to know how, he got distracted. Before he realized, he was involved with young persons who were engaging in the use of illicit drugs and things like this, and alcohol. And then he had to come to himself and say, wait a minute, what do I really want to do? Do I really want to be a kind of a gangster or something like this? Or do I really want to get this kind of thing which is before me? And the very moment he saw that, he himself, nobody told him, he began to realize, oh, if that is the case, these connections I've brought to myself is no longer worthy. I cannot be in this kind of company as long as I want to achieve this kind of thing. Even in worldly things, people realize that. And you want to come to experience the greatest blessing of life, to become a child of God, have my sins forgiven me, and to be received of God Himself. And you think you can still keep along these things. There's some young persons that deceive themselves in this. He says, I want to become a Christian. I really want to become a child of God. And yet, he's entertaining a girlfriend in an unworthy way, in a sinful way. You say, whom are you fooling? What are you doing? Whom are you trifling with? Because Almighty God sees. And He knows the kind of things you're connected with. And if you're not willing to say, no, I will not let anything distract me. This is the one thing I long for, to become a child of God. If you don't start there, you don't start at all, my dear friends. Friends, I acknowledge, and I will say a few things very soon. I acknowledge sometimes these things that are distracting may be too powerful for you. They seem to have had such a hold on you, you cannot turn. This is true, this can happen. And I'm not asking you to try. I'm not saying you have the power every time to be able to turn off. Sometimes you find yourself powerless before it. But all we're saying at the moment is this. Do you recognize the distraction and say, oh Lord, this is drawing me away. This is taking my mind off really coming to seek and find you. Help me and deliver me and bring me to seek you and to find you. And so that's the first one. And look at the second resolution of this wonderful woman. Verse 16, the latter part of that. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And so this is the second resolution. Ruth is saying, I want a new company. I've been in a different company in my country. The Moabite women, or perhaps the Moabite mothers. Now I want a new company. I'm tired of that company. And I want this new one. Anyone who really wants to come to the Lord recognizes that. I want a new kind of a company. A new body of people that are different. That really know the Lord. Because the people she was talking about were those people that knew the Lord. People that were called the people of the Lord. And I will touch even on that a little more later. And then she wanted to be part of that. Part of the body of the Lord's people. Of course, I've listened to the testimony of people the Lord has converted many times over the years. And how many people have been drawn by longing to be part of the body of the Lord's people. We have a large number of children here we bring in the afternoon. And in the Sunday school work, work among children, we have seen things like those young persons who can see the clear lines. They can see that they come around. Some of the young persons, and even in this place, we are thankful for them. Some of the young persons even help to clean this place. Some of them will be doing all kind of practical things for us. But they begin to realize, look at these people. When it comes to their Lord's Supper, when they gather for the special meetings, we're supposed to go out. We are not part of them. We are almost cut off. We don't belong to that company. We are moving among them. We are active in that and that. But we are actually not owned among that company. And we have seen young persons in the past, here, not here, but where I came from, where young persons begin to say, oh no, I don't want it to be that way. I wish I'm one of them. I wish I'm one of that company who can be allowed to draw near to the Lord, things like that. That's the kind of things Ruth desires. Because friends, when you become converted, when the Lord truly saves you, one of the things that nobody will teach you, but you yourself will discover at once, is that your former friends who do not know and love the Lord, you wouldn't hate them. You wouldn't despise them. You wouldn't do that at all. And yet, you cannot be close to them anymore. Why? Because a new interest is risen in your heart. A new concern comes in your heart. A new connection you desire. It simply is fixed in your heart. It's done by the Lord Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ said it. Because He has come to create a kingdom. And in that kingdom, you find yourself desiring to be with a different bond, a different kind of persons in a kind of a bond, you see. And so, my dear friends, so that's the second resolution that moved Ruth. He says that, I want your people to be my people. I want to be in that company of your people. You know, one of the amazing things that this woman is saying is this. So there's a people of God on earth. She's a Moabite. God created everything. But God has a people. He has a people elsewhere. And as I go with you, I will be part of them. And so it is, friends. God has a people here. Some people have asked, are there genuine Christians in Ghana?
Because everybody is telling lies. Everybody is receiving bribes. Everybody wants kickbacks. People are asking, are there true churches here? People are asking, is it really possible to follow God genuinely? Are there people who are truly the Lord's and strive to please Him? The Lord will always have a people like this in the world, friends. The Lord will always have a people who really love Him. Dear friends, you may think that wherever you turn your eye, all you can see is everything that is corrupt. But the Lord still keeps a people for Himself. And you know, it would be helpful for you to say, I want to know them and be part of them. I want to be among those people who are the Lord's people indeed, who really love the Lord and follow Him, who have come to Him and have had their sins forgiven them and changed. I want to be part of them. I want to be part of the company of the Lord's people. Some person be ready to Christ over. Me pese eba makuma me se me pese me hunu sanya nkopa nkrofo no. E sansanya nkopa nkrofo e we as be dia. E ready some catch so munye bebre dia. There are not that many. The Lord's people may not be that many, but the Lord will always have the people. E ready be nyan krofo we as every year. One more don't want no more person wounding a tree, a war, BBM, one more better, no more such as a radio outcrown if from Bonnie home. Friends, we always are encouraging people. Don't use their corruption around as an excuse. Some people only gauge. Everybody in my office tells a lie every day. Oh, I tell it once a year. And so that's not that serious. It's not that serious because, well, my dear friends, Almighty God doesn't compare you with others. He compares you with His own standards. And so, if we don't match up to His standards, we are cast away. And so, friends, remember that it is His standards that matters and not what men create. And so, remember His standards. And His standard states that you must be entirely perfect and holy and spotless. And nobody is like that. Nobody born of a woman is like that. And so we must come to the Lord to receive free righteousness, which He gives us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Savior died. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary in order to pay for the penalty for sin, in order to bring us to Himself and to clothe us, put His own righteousness on us. So if I come and I trust in Him, this is what it means. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ means I come to God and say, oh Lord, I have nothing for You to look at in myself. I have no good. I have no beauty. I don't have any character for You to look at. If You look at me, all I have is sin. But I come. I put my hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, who went to the cross of Calvary in order to pay for sin and to yield His own righteousness for sinners. If you put your trust in Him, then He would have mercy. And if we are sincere, He would forgive and receive us by His grace. Friends, let me go on to something else that the lady said, which is so beautiful. Verse 16. I hope you still have your Bibles with you. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Your God will be my God. Friends, so can God be known? Or do we only mention His name? On learn things about Him. Can we really know Him? What does it mean to know Him? It is to be brought to a sense that He's there and He sees all I do. I cannot impress Him with outward activities when my motives are selfish, when my motives are for show and attention. He begins to say, come on, He sees me. Come on, He knows what I'm doing. When you realize I cannot keep secrets, I cannot cover up things, because He sees. It's a sense that I'm dealing with God. Some people train themselves to be very clever in playing games in churches. And pastors can be number one these days.
you can act out a pastor, isn't it? If you can just take the microphone and learn a few languages here and there, a few verses, and shout them around and be jumping and hopping all over the place, you can present yourself as a very anointed man coming down from heaven just this morning, isn't it? Well, people think they can play all that kind of things. The very moment you know God, you say, hey, be careful. He watches. Not only watches, He judges. I cannot hide. I cannot pretend. I cannot make up things. I have to be genuine. I must go to Him and open my heart to Him. I must tell Him what is actually my heart and mind. I cannot pretend over that. And if it's near when you're coupon, if it's near when Can we know God? Do you know Him, friends? That's the biggest question. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 17, verse 3. He said that, and this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God. If I don't know Him, I am not saved. If I've not been brought to that sense that I am dealing with this God and I stand before Him, I am not converted. It doesn't matter whatever I claim. Because when I'm brought to know Him, I'm aware that I am dealing with Him and He's the one I come to ask Him for mercy and blessing. Oh, I don't know whether I can tell you this. There's an interesting story. I think I mentioned it years ago amongst our sisters. Those who are here for a long time may remember that. There was a story of two young boys, I think a boy and a girl, who visited their grandmother. And when they visited their grandmother had a nice place, a compound of her own. And she had these animals, duck and chicken and all these running over the place. And you know boys. You know boys like throwing things, isn't it? So this boy, as he was playing around, he picked up a stone and throw it over the place and things like this. And then one time, you know, boys can be mischievous. This boy, there was one duck going by. And this boy decided to hit it with one of the stones. And so he hit this boy, he hit this duck, and the duck died. I don't know what else he was thinking of. The duck died, and then the boy buried it. Dug out a hole and buried the duck. But her sister saw him. And so after the sister seen him, everybody seemed as if everything was forgotten. Nobody saw anything. So when they go back to the house, the grandmother came and said, well, I have work for you to do. He told the boy, can you clean the kitchen? And your sister is doing the bedroom. And then the girl said that, oh, grandma, my brother says he would do all the work in the house. And the boy was going to say, hey, have I said anything? And then the sister said, remember the duck. And so the moment she whispered it, remember the duck. And then the boy said, okay, mom, I'll do that. I'll do everything. So he did it. The next time, grandma gave them work. And the sister said, well, my brother would do everything in the house. And the very moment the boy went to complain, the sister said, remember the duck. And so he became a slave, doing everything in the house. And so one time he became tired. Because he was doing everything, so he became tired. And then he decided to go and tell the grandma. So he called the grandma and said, Mom, you know what I did? I was playing about and I killed your duck. And I buried that. So the grandmother said, you know, boy, I saw you when you did. I was standing in the window. I was waiting until you came. Why do you let your sister make you a slave? Because you want to hide it. Dear friend, this is why, until you come to realize that I'm dealing with God, you never get converted, because you will remain a slave. Become a slave to yourself. You must play games behind scenes, calculate carefully. Oh, if I do that, they will see me. If I said, they will see my motives. Become a slave. You cannot save the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ never has slaves. Slaves is something else belonging to Him. He's sharing them with somebody else. He never likes that. If the Son of God shall set you free, He shall be free indeed. And so that's what, the very moment you become converted, you become a slave only to one, the Lord. You would always go to Him, lay plain your heart to Him, and tell Him your true state. Open your heart to Him. That's what we call Christianity. That's when you become a child of God. He is your Father. You can go and open your heart to Him and tell Him all. Oh, my dear friend, never deceive yourself. Christianity has teachings, but Christianity doesn't begin and end on teachings. Christianity has things we do, but it doesn't begin and end on things we do. It starts in coming to know the Lord, to be aware. I stand before Him, and I am answerable to Him, and He knows everything about me. Oh, my dear friends, so we should know these things. And that's one of the resolutions, friends. Tell yourself, I wouldn't settle for anything. I wouldn't settle for anything. I really want to know the Lord. Oh, friends, my time is rushing on. Catch on some in person. Me mabi me family into shia. So yes, I said my pa sorry. I saw from why me. I sorry penini. Into my dream I fade dear. Oh, please, please. Do you know God? Do you know how to come to Him and open your heart to Him as your Father, trusting in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know answers to prayer? Do you have you come so that you cannot hide things? Secrets, secret motives, secret intentions, they will be gone. That's when you become genuine, sincere, a child of God indeed, walking in the light of your Father. That's why we are called children of light. What does that mean? We have no secrecies anymore. We have nothing trying to hide them. We have opened up our hearts to God, and He's received us and become His. Oh, my dear friends, that's what Ruth desired. Your God will be my God. Oh, friends, I'm tempted to be saying too much of this. Was years ago, there was a young lady. We had spoken to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as we could judge, she seemed to take in all that we said and seemed to really believe everything. She's understood that the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. She had desired surely to be converted. But as she started coming, we told her, well, can we baptize you then? You know, these days everybody wants to be baptized. You know, they feel that it's forgiven or it's what. Remember, baptism doesn't save you. You must be saved first. So the baptism becomes a testimony of what has already happened. So if it hasn't happened, then your baptism is a sham. It means nothing. We often said you wasted a pastor's time. This lady understood this. So when we wanted to baptize her, she said, Pastor, no. We were shocked. This is in fact, of all those persons who were going to baptize, she had the clearest understanding, at least one of the clearest understanding of all that we've been teaching. She said, no. And then we waited. After, I think a few months again, we asked her, would you want to be baptized? She said, no, Pastor. I want to wait a while. And so we're really baffled. And then I called her and said, is there any problem? Would you want to mention that? Not knowing, you know, this young lady. She becomes so aware that... Now, what had happened was this. She was in a wrongful relationship. And what made it most striking was that she had broken off that relationship. She'd broken off. She was no longer with the man. The man was a married man. She had broken off. But the problem was this. She knew that the wife of the man had grudges with her. And her conscience wouldn't let her go in peace. Oh, my dear friends, Christianity is a wonderful thing. Your heart is touched. God gives you a new conscience. You cannot bear sin and walk around as if nothing has happened. You cannot bear. Sounds that in your office. People say, oh, well, pastor, even pastors do it. So why are you worried? You won't take it. Because God has changed you. Oh, this is just a small lie. Oh, this is just a small gossip. It doesn't, you know, don't you watch gossip on TV? Everybody's gossiping, so never mind. Well, you would worry. And this young lady was so anxious. And then we had to intervene and really leave her to go to the woman. And what was beautiful was this. We told her, do you know that if you met this woman, she may almost rip you up into pieces? She said, yes. He said, are you ready for this? She said, yes. We were so moved. She was so ready for anything, only because she knew he had had nothing to do with the man for several months now. In fact, when she started coming to church. And yet, she wanted a conscience that knew that God himself knows, I have nothing at all anymore. Your God will be my God, not the idols of Moab, Chemosh, who is only a statue. You know, people want God to be like a statue. You know how you worship a statue? You go before it, perform all your rites, whatever you do, you walk away and say, I'm done. That's how people want to worship God. Go to church, do all the activities he wants you, just go away. What he sees about your heart, what he sees about your motives, doesn't really matter. You've gone to do your thing. That is idolatry. That is not worship of Almighty God. When you come before Almighty God, you say, but he knows me. He knows all I've done. He knows all my record. He knows all my motives. I say, we'll go to him because he's giving his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for sin. I go trusting only in him. As for me, I have nothing. I have nothing admirable before him. His son paid a penalty for sin. And I go in his name. And I go pretending nothing. I'm not going to pretend anything. He will catch me. He will see it. And he wouldn't mind me. I will go and lay before him all I've done, all I've said, all I've ever desired and thought, and plead with him that for the sake of his son, he will wash me and change me. Dear friend, do you want such a God? If you don't want such a God, forget about Christianity. This is the God who reveals himself in the Lord Jesus Christ and invites us to him. Would you come to him? Would you lay your life at his feet like that? Opening your heart to him. Pretending nothing. That's the only time you will see his Holy Spirit work mightily in you. Change you. Make you a new person. Give you spiritual capacity you never knew. Genuine trust in the Lord. Fear to sin against him. Even things that people call light, you wouldn't call light anymore. A new conscience will be given you. You'll be a praying person. You will know genuine answers to prayer. You will know you are contacting your Father in heaven in prayer. And he will bless you and bring you to himself, friends. Do you want such a God? Naomi said, Ruth said, this is the God I want. This is the God I want. I urge you, friends, don't settle for anything less. Because he doesn't save. It only deceives and blinds. Don't settle for anything less. Because it's a lie. And it will be exposed as such by and by. Come, desiring to know such a God.
Friends, I better go on. My time is rushing on. Look at something else you said. Now I'm not going to stay that long because our time is going. Look at verse 17. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. She goes beyond life now. I want to die a godly person. Do you desire that? It's a resolution that must come in your heart. A determination. Oh Lord, I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want to die still a slave to my sin. Pity me and wash me. Do you desire that? If that should rise in your heart, it will make you serious. We often tell people, if people will be mindful of the day of death, it will make them a little wise. That my life can be taken away from me anytime. And only God knows when. And I want, if that day should come, die the death of a godly person. You know, there's a difference between them, you know. There's a difference between the death of a godly man, a godly woman, and that of an ungodly person. We said that the death of the godly person is a passage. He's passing from this life to the Savior. Now, the death of the unbeliever is a judgment. The God bringing the life to an end. God is saying, enough of the sins. Enough of the rebellion. Now come to judgment. That's the death of the one who has indeed forgiven and saved. Oh dear friends, this is what Ruth desired. Let me die the death of the righteous. Do you desire that? Well, you say, oh pastor, you know I'm young. I'm not dying anytime soon. I think I have some 50 more years to live. Well, I hope so. And I wish you so. But the trouble is this. Well, the 50 years or what? If the Lord hasn't changed you, the older you grow, the worse you become. You better come now, friends, and seek Him and turn to Him. Look at the last ones, and I close with these ones. These are very wonderful words. Verse 17. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And she takes a vow, an oath. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth, telling Naomi, what I'm telling you is the very language of my heart. Let God be a witness that I truly mean this. I'm not only saying this because I want to go with you. Sorry, I'm reading into the passage so you understand and appreciate it. I don't just want to go with you. God is my witness. God is my witness. I mean them. This is what I want. This is what I desire. Friend, it's a very helpful thing when you want to come to the Lord. Friend, if you become a Christian, you must come to a point of saying, oh Lord, I want to be a thoroughly sincere person. I'm tired of lies. I'm tired of pretenses. I'm tired of show-offs. Friends, especially for a church goer, you go to church. You are involved in church things. It's one of the things that challenges. Lord, I've been in church, and I go to church. I'm a preacher, and I've been a preacher for a long time, you may say. But Lord, I really want to be sincere. I don't want to show us anymore. Don't you see? It would be a sign that you are aware that now you're dealing with God. Lord, I want to be sincere. I don't want any more cover-ups, pretenses. If you don't desire to be sincere, of course don't come to God, because He wouldn't listen to you. If you don't desire to be sincere, you want God Himself to be your witness. Friends, they said, oh, my time is gone. I don't want to tell us. I wanted to turn to a passage in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. It tells us that it is God who bears witness whether we've truly come to believe. People think, if I only say with my, I just say, and people say it every time that I'm closing, I don't want to spend my time on this. People say, oh, confess with your lips the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved. Is that true? It is true. But Scripture tells you something that goes on in the heart first. And so the heart and the lip must agree. Am I really by confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saying, Lord, you are my witness. I really long for you to be my master and governor. I'm tired of running my own life. I'm tired of becoming an independent person. I hate that. I cannot live that life. I want to be under thy government. Now, if there's not that desire in your heart to merely say, Lord, I confess you as Lord is a lie. God sees contradiction. I want to be a master of my own affairs. I want to run my own affairs, determine things for myself. And yet I'm saying, Lord, I confess you as Lord. Well, of course, Almighty God hates that. When the lip says something utterly different from what the heart is saying. But if you can call upon God as your witness, oh Lord, I come and I repent of my sins. I know what I've done. I know the things I've done. I only know part. There's so much more that is hidden. And so I'm only a sinner. I am only a sinner. I have nothing at all beautiful before thee. But the Lord Jesus Christ died for needy sinners like me. I trust in what he did. I abandon all confidence in myself, because there will be such a lie before you. And then you can almost say, whether you say it or not, Almighty, the Lord should see that in our hearts. Lord, you know in my heart that I am trusting in nothing. I hate trusting myself or this world or anything. You know, I have no hold on anything now. I trust in nothing now. I come a needy sinner, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He paid for the penalty for sin. His righteousness is what is given to sinners. You can understand these things and say it with your lips, which is good. But God should be your witness. Your heart is embracing the same thing. By abandoning every hope in yourself, Satan will whisper hopes in your ears. Friends, I'm closing. I'm sorry. Are you interested in this? And those of you who are, some of the things you'll be reading here may not be offended at all. Let me take 2 minutes to explain this. We have a Baptist preacher. He died years ago, over almost 300 years ago. He's called John Bunyan. He wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress. And he pictures how people become Christians. And he puts in a part that is so wonderful. That's what I want you to know. It's like a story. I'll just tell you within 1 minute. A man sets off wanting to go to heaven. That's what he means. And he's been shown that he should go to a narrow gate. We call that wicked gate, a narrow gate. And when he was going, friend, because it sums up the things I'm talking about this morning. When he was going, somebody comes in. He's called Mr. Worldly Wise Man. He comes in and he has a better solution for him. When the man was going, he knew that he has a burden on his back. In other words, he's troubled that he's a sinner and that he would die in sin. And so he must be rescued. And you know what, when this man, when he came, what he said? He said, oh, don't go there. Don't go to that gate. I can tell you a way here. If you go there, your bed will be taken away nice and simple for you. If you choose to go that way, you'll have too many problems on the way. So go to this place. You know the place? And listen, the preacher was so wise in using his language. See, the place is called Morality. If you go, there's a man there who will help you. It's called Legality. And if you don't find him, he has a son who can help you. His name is Civility. You know what the preacher is saying? When you are told, go, trust in Christ alone. Abandon all trust in yourself. Satan whispers. But you're not a bad person. Yes, you commit sincere and but you're not that bad. Morally, you're okay. After all, you're a civil person. You pay your tax. You don't commit offenses. Nice person. Take it easy. You're a legal person. You obey the rules you find in the Bible. You see, you're a nice person. Don't go to Calvary. to go and strip yourself of every righteousness and good will make you miserable. Don't go and say, Lord, I have nothing. That will make you miserable. And then the man listened for a while. And when he was distracted and what was going, he almost died on the way. If you trusted in anything in yourself, if you trusted in anything you think you can do for God to be impressed with you, you will die in your sins. You will. You may become a pastor preaching. You may become whatever. You will die in your sins. Until you come to a point of realizing, not just say it with your lips, but God is your witness. Oh Lord, I have nothing, and I can trust in nothing, whether in myself or in this world. I only come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for needy sinners. Would you come, friends? Would you come to Him this way? Then He will save you. Then He will save you, change you, give you a new heart, and you will see that He's heard you. You don't have to assume it. You don't have to dream it. You will realize wonderful things have happened. New motives, new desires, new strengths, new spiritual capabilities. You will pray real prayers, real engagements with God, and you will be answered graciously.